Paul, let's talk a little bit about the push for blocking the strength of the paranormal away from all of us. Something's going on. People don't want us to know about it. What do you think's happening?
Well, yeah, that I think is a major problem. I think people don't realize the extent to which the news of developments in this field are being withheld or being blocked, as you said. Interestingly, you know, if you went back to the 70s, you'd see that there were dozens of laboratories around the United States researching parapsychology type things. Most people aren't aware of this, but there are less than a handful. There's really only one or two laboratories today that is engaged in serious research in the paranormal in the United States. The center of mass of this research has moved to Europe because Europe seems to be more accepting of this sort of thing. The United States seems increasingly hostile to that, at least as far as funding and acceptance in the, you know, among the elite, so to speak, which is too bad. I mean, we used to kind of be ahead of the rest of the world in this kind of research, and now it's in a way has been suppressed because of the way things are going.
Well, remember Dr. J.B. Rhine and what he used to do at Duke University? I mean, all that's gone away.
It really has. Rhine was the one that invented modern parapsychology, and his legacy is no longer here.
And I think we talked a little bit about my aunt Shafika, whom Ingo Swann just thought the world of.
Yes.
I mean, she devoted her entire career to that area.
Yes, she was a very valuable researcher, made some important contributions. And at the time she was working, there were many people in the field. But as time goes on, more and more of these efforts are going away, and really there are only a few folks. Ed May, who is part of the remote viewing program, the research arm of the remote viewing program, he has a small effort still, but it's kind of a one-man show in a way. He has some assistance from out. Joe McMonigal still works with him a bit. Really, Dean Radin at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, he's in a way the lone gun out there in an institutional setting working on this material in this really frontier of science. The Rhine Institute really doesn't do much research anymore. The PEAR lab, the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Lab, is slowly going away, and there's not much left, and it's a real shame. And I think the reason is because there's a concerted effort by the skeptical community to persuade mainstream science that there's nothing to this, which is actually false. There is a lot to it, and there's been a huge amount of scientific advancement in the last 2 to 3 decades, which is going unacknowledged and unappreciated, unfortunately.
I agree with you, Paul. Why do you think, on the face of it, that remote viewing works? When you look at it, you know, trying to ascertain, okay, you've got people who are thinking, letting their minds float out there to pick up information. When you think of that, you go, oh, my God, how can that be? But why does it work? How does it work?
Well, my answer to that question actually is part of the reason why all of this trouble is happening as far as parapsychology research is concerned. The answer is, we don't really know how it works. And in science, if you can't come up with a theoretical framework to explain the causal mechanisms that make something work, then science doesn't know what to do with it and wants to either ignore it or condemn it or whatever. And of course, that's the situation here. The unfortunate thing is, science's mission, allegedly, one of its missions anyway, is to pursue the unknowns and clarify the unknowns. And yet, science is very conservative in that if there's something that's so unknown that they don't know what kind of a theoretical base to put it in, they tend to avoid it when they ought to be looking into it.
Do you think this is a conspiracy to withhold, a conspiracy to keep the paranormal world away from most people?
You know, I use that term a lot, conspiracy of skeptics. Perhaps I'm misusing the word a little bit. Conspiracy implies a plan or an attempt to do something illegal or something immoral or something like that. You know, obviously, skeptics have a belief. They're firmly convinced that they're right. And so, in that sense, it really isn't a conspiracy. And yet, the way it works out is very conspiratorial in many respects. there's this kind of collusion in the skeptical community, interacting with the mainstream science community, that is working to withhold this information from the rest of the public through whatever means possible. It's a very concerted effort. They work a lot like a political party, rallying the troops when there's perceived threat to their base. When the enemy, the so-called enemy here, the parapsychologists, seem to be making some headway, there are all kinds of measures taken to try and keep the parapsychologists from emerging in public with any kind of apparent progress being made. The worry is, and this is voiced by Carl Sagan in his book, The Demon-Haunted World, the worry is that if you open the door a crack to one aspect of parapsychology, then all of the superstition of the ages will come flooding back in, and it took science 500 years to get all that out the door and close the door on it. So there's some psychology going on here, but nonetheless, I think that this agenda to suppress this material, I think it's harmful both to science and to the human race.
Well, I think you're right, Paul. I think it's also sad that it's not being pushed the way it used to be. Is it a sign of the times? What has faded away? I mean, programs like this and others are very successful. There's obviously an audience out there for it. There's an interest out there for it. Yet the scientists seem to stay away from it.
Well, part of it is that some of the research, probably a goodly share of the research, wasn't fruitful. There were blind alleys that they went down and started off very hopeful, and the research was pursued in parapsychology, and certain experimental paradigms didn't prove out to be as successful as people thought they were. But you're bound to get disappointments in any aspect of science. I love the story about Edison, who told somebody once, and of course this is probably apocryphal, who knows, but allegedly told somebody once that he'd tried 99 different substances for the filaments of his light bulbs and they had failed. And the person said, well, it must be discouraging to have failed so many times. And Edison said, well, I didn't fail 99 times, I just found 99 things that didn't work.
Exactly. Yeah. Very positive about it.
Yes, and unfortunately, mainstream science isn't that way about parapsychology. Again, since they have no way of explaining how it works, they're already going to be biased against it. And even when the things that do work come out, they can't explain it, and so they try and find alternative explanations. Usually they'll allege fraud or imply fraud, don't always allege it, but they'll imply fraud or they'll imply poor analysis or sloppy experimenting. And sometimes that stuff is true. You know, some parapsychology experiments have been sloppily done. What the skeptics are succeeding in suppressing is the fact that their objections have one by one been met by parapsychological science over the past 20 to 30 years. Those objections have been met one by one, and frankly, the skeptics no longer have a valid argument against the science that's being done.